translation. This person falsely appears as a brahmachari is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in this regard that the very word Hari means one who takes away. If one connects himself with Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord takes away all his miseries, and in the beginning the Lord also superficially appears to take away all his material possessions, reputation, education, and beauty. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8, Yashyaham anugrinami varasi tadanam sanai. The Lord said to Maharaj Yudhisthira, the first installment of my mercy towards a devotee is that I take away all his possessions, especially his material opulence, his money. This is a special favor of the Lord towards a sincere devotee. If a sincere devotee wants Krishna above everything, but at the same time is attached to material possessions which hinder his advancement in Krishna consciousness, by tactics the Lord takes away all his possessions. Here Sukhacharya says that this dwarf brahmachari would take away everything. Thus he indicated that the Lord will take away all one's material possessions and also one's mind. If one delivers his mind to the lotus feet of Krishna, savai mana Krishna padaravindayo, one can naturally sacrifice everything to satisfy him. Although Bali Maharaj was a devotee, he was attached to material possessions, and therefore the Lord, being very kind to him, showered him special favor by appearing as Lord Vamanadev to take away all his material possessions and his mind as well. Omagyatamanandasya jananjana salakaya chaksuru militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svabhadantikam vanchakalpatyo bhishtya kripasindu bhayevacha patitananam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today I want to talk on two subject matters. One is, as I already mentioned, the subject matter of Lord Hari, the one who takes everything away, and also the point that's been made here that the trickery of Vamanadev to take everything away from Bali Maharaj. So, let's begin with Lord Hari, the one who takes everything away. Yesterday, Shivaram Maharaj was explaining the difficulties the devotees had in India in the very beginning of Krishna consciousness. And I can actually verify that, because I was in Bombay. And there was an interesting micro- telephones in every temple, even in Bhaktivedanta Manor. It was interesting. It was actually not interesting. It was a surprise. It was a shock to see how the Indians that came to our temple there in Bombay would challenge us in a very forthright way. Of course, as Marge was saying, in those days our temples were very, very simple. And I can confirm that our Bombay temple, it had a roof, but it didn't even have any walls. It was just a corrugated roof. The deities had their enclosure, but that was it. We were there every day having our kirtans and pravachans, classes. And there would be, you know, Indians visiting us and seeing what this was all about, the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So it was not very easy for the devotees that came to India. It was actually very, very, very austere. But the austerities we accepted, but what we couldn't first accept was this challenging of the Indian people. We didn't understand why they were challenging, because, you know, they would say things like, why Krishna? Why this Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? You know, why not Durga? Why not Ganesh? Why not Kali? You know, naming all of the different demigods. Why Krishna? This was the challenge. And the devotee that was giving the class, usually it was a swami in those days, because most of us were young and we didn't really know how to give classes, so we left it to the swamis. So the swamis then would come back with, well, why not Krishna? If all the gods are the same, then why not Krishna? Why are you excluding Krishna? Huh? And of course the answer to that question is, because Krishna is Hari, the one who takes everything away from you. That is why you will not surrender to Krishna. Of course, they saw what facilities we had, and that was the reason why they challenged. You know, why should you worship Krishna? He doesn't even give you a proper temple. You know, even the temple opposite was a Hanuman temple. It was far more, you know, opulent than what we had. But little did they know that we had plans to build a big, big complex behind our little shanty shack temple. Yeah? And so they challenged like that. They challenged practically every day. And it was actually quite disturbing for us, because we came to India with a mode of assisting and helping Prabhupada to establish Krishna consciousness. And we didn't feel that we were getting much support from the Indian guests that came to our temple. So the interesting thing was, when we did finally build that complex, which was a temple, marble temples, golden shringasans, there was an auditorium, there was a guest house, then the challenging stopped. And the first darshan, I actually noticed a few very big, prominent Bombayites, you know, who had factories and employees in their factory. Their first darshan was like this. You know, looking at Krishna, thinking, well, where did you come from? You know, and how long are you staying, by the way? You know, because, you know, they were important people, and this was the first time that there was a temple in Bombay, a Krishna temple. There were many, many demigod temples, but there were no Krishna temples. So, but anyway, it wasn't long before the darshan changed from holding their hands on their hips to then folding their hands before the Lord and saying, "Yes, you are Krishna and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I am your devotee." To which today, that, you know, our temple is the most prominent temple in Bombay. And I was there just last year, looking down from the guest room, and every minute of the day there are persons driving in and attending some function or taking darshan, whatever it was. It's very, very, the most popular temple in Bombay. But this challenge was very apparent in the early days. You don't even have a temple. You know, why should you worship Krishna? Of course, when the opulence came, then they understood, oh yes, we should worship Krishna, because, well, look at this temple. Then Krishna must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, this verse is explaining how, you know, Lord Hari is the one who takes everything away. So there's a lot of hesitation amongst the Hindus about surrendering to Krishna. And even Prabhupada, he made this point himself that, he said that Krishna, he is present in 10 directions, north, south, east, west, northwest, northeast, southwest, south, southwest, southeast. I missed one out. Anyway, up, down. So in 10 directions, he was explaining that Krishna has 10 arms. And he said, I tried to save my family and my business with my 2 hands, and Krishna with his 10 hands, he took everything away from me. And he said he made me a beggar. I was destitute. I had nothing. And then, after some time of making me a beggar, he gave, with his 10 hands, he gave so much that I could not hold in my 2 hands. So he gave this as an example of how Krishna deals with his devotees. That in the beginning, he takes everything away, but then when he sees that we're sincere and we can actually use everything properly in his service, in the mood of yukta vairagya, then he will give everything back, or he'll give at least opulence that will be used in his service. There was an Indian gentleman who came before Prabhupada once in India, and he said, Swamiji, please give me your mercy. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, no, you don't need my mercy. But 3 times this gentleman asked him, no, I really, really want your mercy. And each time Prabhupada said, no, you do not really want my mercy. But because he then insisted, Prabhupada said, okay, here's my mercy. I hope that Krishna will take everything, all your material possessions away from you. Hare Krishna. And he said, no, not that mercy. And it was very difficult for him. A couple of years ago, there was we have this Time Out magazine here in London, which explains the different places the people can go to enjoy themselves. So in this particular issue, I didn't see it myself, but a devotee mentioned it. I thought it was quite funny. It said in one page that if you want to go to a really nice vegetarian restaurant, then go to Govinda's in Seoul Street. First class vegetarian food. And then if you want a new pair of shoes, well, go upstairs to the temple and you can get a new pair of shoes. It was a little bit of a joke, but actually in reality, we sometimes experience that. It didn't happen to me, but many devotees it does happen, that when they first go to the temple, they say, oh, I've got to take my shoes off. So they leave their shoes and then go into the temple room. When they come out after a nice program, feeling really, really ecstatic about visiting, they suddenly find that their shoes have disappeared. This is the beginning of Lord Hari's, what does Prabhupada point out here? His formula or his forget what he mentioned. His program? Was this his program or formula? I don't see. So Krishna can take he starts taking things away from us. Of course, there's some things that he takes away that we really, really don't mind. I have a list of them here. He not only steals butter and the gopis' garments, but he will steal what the devotee has that will obstruct him from taking full shelter of him, such as pride, false ego, distress, material attachments. So these are all kind of good things. Oh, we don't mind that, as long as we become a little bit more comfortable in our devotional service to Krishna. But the problem is that Krishna is the best of thieves. He's the king of thieves. And he really knows how to steal the best things from us in order to shake us, in order to wake us up in our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes he will steal things which, as it says, he's the king of thieves. He will steal everything from us. Literally everything. So, he will steal your money. He could steal away your relationships, family members, loved ones. And what about stealing away your good name? That's a difficult one. We all like to feel that we're liked by everyone. But that is not always the case. And someone can steal away our good name right before us. And what about stealing away our happiness? Prabhupada said to us, chant, dance, and be happy. But what about when Krishna steals away our happiness and makes us cry? Yeah. That's quite tough. Men don't usually cry. Women can cry quite easily. But men, we're kind of we're quite macho in our behavior, and we don't really want to be seen crying even before Krishna. But sometimes he really pulls the plug, and you have to actually, there's no other way around it, but you'll have to just sit or lie and cry. And that's when Krishna is getting quite close to accepting your full shelter at his lotus feet. There's a nice poem which describes all this, which I'll read out. I don't know who is the one who wrote it, but some great Vaishnava personality, no doubt, because it's quite a nice poem. I offer my obeisances to the foremost thief, who is famous in Vraj as the butter thief, and who, for those who take shelter of him, steals everything, even Radhika's heart. Such fearsome thief has never been seen or heard of in all the three worlds. So this is a nice response by a devotee to this king of thieves. Hey thief, you have stolen everything from me, but where can you run? I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. Hey thief, I have imprisoned you within the miserable prison of my heart, which is very fearful due to the darkness of ignorance. This, O thief, this is your punishment for your crimes and thievery. The noose of my devotion remaining forever tight, I will not release you for millions of eons. What's an eon? Huh? Is it? Well, there you go. So this is a nice, this is the relationship that Krishna's looking for. It's all very well coming before the deities and saying to Krishna, dear radical Kulananda, my son, he's just about to take his driving test. Can you help him out? things like this, which my son just accomplished a few days ago. I did pray to the Lord. But will we come before the Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction, the ultimate, the ultimate in relationships? Because Krishna, he doesn't really like being God, because as God, he is the order supplier to everyone. And as we know, we sometimes point out how the Hindus are asking to be liberated, to go to the heavenly planets, and perhaps the Christians want their daily bread, and the Muslims want something else. But we Hare Krishnas, we're no exception to the rule. We come before the deity asking for so many different opulences and positions and material favors. But what pleases Krishna more than anything is when we want to really firmly establish a loving relationship. That's when he feels, he feels very happy in that environment, in that kind of intimacy, an intimate relationship with his devotee. And then this kind of back and forth takes place where, you know, Krishna and the devotees, it's like a competition between them as to who will favor the other more. Will Krishna favor the devotee more, or will the devotee favor Krishna more? So that's a sweet, loving relationship, and this is the platform ultimately where bhakti will lead to, if we are sincere. So Krishna has his plan. He has his plan and his justice for us all. And according to how we reciprocate with him within our service, then that will depend on the level of devotion that we will exceed. And sometimes we may feel that there are too many obstacles in the way of me becoming Krishna conscious. That's one way of looking at it, but we could look at it in another way, that these so-called obstacles are perhaps opportunities too, to further our devotion and our relationship with Krishna. So not necessarily should we see them as obstacles, but rather opportunities. That's not easy, of course. It's not easy to see the bigger picture. There are two pictures. There is one immediate picture that stands right before us, which is generally quite terrible and terrifying. But Krishna's bigger picture is so much more pleasing and rewarding than what we could even imagine. So ultimately, of course, in our service, our daily service, we have to try to see things from where Krishna is standing and not always from where we're standing. And that's quite one must be very sincere and faithful in order to be able to live our daily life in service to Krishna in that mood. But there you have it, Krishna is Hari. So the next time Krishna, Hari, takes something away from you, try to see the bigger picture and see that it's all good. Ultimately, it's all for our benefit. So here, Bali Maharaj is being tricked by Vamanadev. It's interesting that it's pointing out that he has to trick him, because Krishna has the ability just to take everything all in one go. He does it so often with the demons. So why doesn't he do it with Bali Maharaj? Well, one reason is, as it's mentioned here, that Bali Maharaj is not a demon, he's actually a devotee. And the second reason is that Bali Maharaj, he had obtained victory over the whole universe, took away all the property of the demigods, all their positions and opulence by fair play, by fair means. Prabhupada explains this in one of his purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this is the difference between the devotees and the non-devotees when they go to war. And he mentions specifically, the British Empire was built ultimately on thievery. That they actually went to India and took all the opulence of India, the money, and they took the soldiers, and then they went and conquered many other parts of the world. And then he mentioned that as soon as India became independent, at that moment the British Empire started to collapse. So he was saying that ultimately it was destined to happen, that, okay, a big empire, but then suddenly it all collapses because it was obtained through the mood of thievery, stealing. They stole the spice trade. There was a big lucrative spice trade in India, and the British took that over, and then they started to take the money from that and the Indian soldiers and conquer the world. He was saying that Bali Maharaj, his chivalry, he had chivalry. His mood was as a Kshatriya who followed all the principles of a Kshatriya, and by fair play, by fair means, he took over the whole universe. So Krishna really, really could not just take it away from Bali without some fair, of course, fair, tricks are not fair, but He had to take it away by some means, some way. So as we were just reading, Vamanadeva asked for free steps of land. And Bali Maharaj said, well, come on, I know you're a little boy, and that's typical talk from a little boy, but, you know, I'm Bali Maharaj, and I can give you, as Maharaj was saying a few days ago, I can give you planets. I have that much land, so just, you know, please, you know, ask for something significant. But as we've been just reading, the reply from Vamanadeva was no. I'm not interested in all this. I'm a simple brahmachari. We don't need so much. 3 steps of land is sufficient. Thank you very much. And then Bali Maharaj said, okay, I will give you what you want. Whatever it is you want, you please take it. Yeah. So this is trickery. As we will read in the next verses, how Vamanadeva took just by 2 steps of land, he took over the whole universe. Yeah, this is. Sometimes we try to compete with Krishna in this material world. We compete in different ways. Every year here, in London, there's a marathon run. So we want to show everyone how fast we can run and how far we can run. But every year in that marathon, someone dies. It's a long run, and it's quite a feat. But it is our competition with Krishna. You know? Everything we do here, unless we're doing it in the mood of service to Krishna, it's ultimately a competition with Krishna. To see how fast I can run. To see how wonderful I can swim. But Krishna comes time and time again just to show us that our competition with him is useless. It's a waste of time. And here's Vamanadeva, he's taking his marathon, he's not even running, he's just walking across the universe. This is how he reciprocates with our challenges. Yeah, you can run, but I'll walk. I'll just take 2 steps and I'll just cover the whole universe. Hare Krishna. So who can compete with Krishna? And that's ultimately the reason why he appears and has these wonderful pastimes, just to defuse our competition with him, so that we will rightly surrender to his lotus feet and serve him, and accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are a few points from this verse. I mean, a couple of minutes if anyone has any questions or comments.